The first Sunday in Lent invites us to think about the nature of temptation. What does it mean to be tempted? What does it mean to be led astray, to be led away from the true spirit and the true priorities of our living and loving God? In Matthew's gospel, which we just heard, Jesus is tempted by the devil after he experiences a long period of isolation. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus has been wandering alone in the dry and rugged and arid terrain of the Judean wilderness. And it is hot, my friends, during the day, and it's cold during the night. And by the end of it all, Jesus is exhausted. As the gospel puts it, Jesus is famished, and Jesus is very much alone. And isn't that always when temptation comes? It comes when we're alone, when we're exhausted, when we're hungry. It comes when we're hungry for a relationship, when we can so easily deceive ourselves into thinking that somehow we can just make it on our own, that we can somehow get ourselves out of whatever mess it is that we find ourselves in. But what we actually need more than anything else is not ourselves, but others. What we need is relationship with other human beings and with our living and loving God. The devil comes to Jesus this morning, and the devil offers him solutions to his problems, to his poverty, you might say, solutions that are very much of this world. The devil isn't really interested in the spiritual. The devil is only interested in the material. You're hungry, the devil says to a famished Jesus. Here, command these stones to become loaves of bread, and you'll have lots of food. You're tired, the devil says to an exhausted Jesus. Here, throw yourselves down and let your angels bear you up on wings that could be fluffy as pillows. You're weak, the devil says to a very disempowered Jesus. Here, look out from on top of this hill. All the kingdoms of the world in all of their splendor, they are yours if you will just bow down and worship me. The devil comes to Jesus this morning, and the devil offers solutions to Jesus' poverty that are of this world. Now, if we're to turn our attention to our vestry meeting later this afternoon, by the standards of this world, Holy Trinity Pembroke has had a pretty good year together in 2019 as a church family. By the standards of this world, 2019 was actually a pretty reasonable year. I'm happy to say that our average attendance numbers held steady, just under 100 people a Sunday between the two services. And we welcomed a number of new families and new members of all ages into this community of faith. Well done. Our fundraising numbers also held steady, thanks to everyone's incredibly hard work, which was on display this past Tuesday at the Shrove Tuesday dinner. Through our dinners and our bazaars and our community events, we essentially raised the same amount of money for our ministries through fundraising in 2019 as we did in 2018. Again, well done. And although our general offering revenues were down, they were down by roughly $13,000, and we were unable to make our last monthly remittance to the diocese for 2019, that's actually not uncommon. It's significant, yes, but in fact, in the last 5 years, there have only been 2 years, 2017 and 2018, where we are able to make all 12 of our monthly payments to cover our staff and our fair share and our insurance. And folks, I have every confidence going forward, thanks to everyone's generosity in this room and beyond, that we will make up that month as a church family. We have before, we will do it again, we will make up that month and then some, thanks to you. By the standards of the world, 2019 was a pretty darn good year for Holy Trinity Pembroke. And the great temptation, my friends, for any church family is to stop our analysis of a good year right there. To assess whether or not we had a good year or a bad year together based on the metrics of this world. To assess our health only based on attendance and fundraising and general offering revenues. But those things, my friends, important as they are not what define us. They are not what make us who we are as the people of God. Jesus reminds us this morning in words that are so crystal clear. We are not a people who live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The true markers of our health that I am so proud of this church family are not only our attendance, nor our fundraising, nor our general offering revenues. My friends, it's the laughter. It's the laughter I am proudest of. It's the joy we experience together every time we gather. It's the symphony of laughter that rises up out of that church kitchen as it did this past Tuesday morning and afternoon as we flip pancakes and fry sausages and dole out maple syrup galore. That is what defines us. It's the smiles. It's the wide-eyed smiles on the faces of the people of this congregation as we watched nothing less than the Bishop of Central Newfoundland a few weeks ago up dancing on our pews right here in this church. And then we saw him in the afternoon with the intermittents at Miles and Lucy Buttles up in the kitchen playing guitar, not with a mitre on his head, but with a big Joe Muffarraw hat in his head and having the time of his life. That is what defines us. It's the tears in people's eyes. It's the tears in people's eyes, and I have seen them, and I know you have seen them, when we visit each other as a church family, and when we spend time with each other as a church family, and we say to each other in moments of trial, I care. I care, and I love you, and I'm praying for you. That is what defines who we are. It's the wealth of the Spirit, my friends. Not the wealth of the world, but the wealth of the Spirit. It is our greatest asset, our greatest resource, and it is the greatest gift that God is going to continue to use to grow this church family here at Holy Trinity and throughout our parish of the Valley in the months and years to come. And when I say grow, again, I don't just mean grow in terms of attendance or grow financially. Yes, those aspects of our shared life together, they are important and they have their place. It's important that we gather this afternoon as a vestry once a year and discuss those things. But when I say grow, I mean grow in the Spirit. Grow in the wealth of the Spirit. Because it is the deep wealth of the Spirit that exists in this church family that is going to enable us to continue growing as a hub, a true hub for ministry and mission and learning for this beautiful new thing that we call the Parish of the Valley. We get the privilege here at Holy Trinity of being the hub at the center of the wheel. It's the wealth of the Spirit, my friends, the wealth that exists in this church family that's going to enable us to continue taking risks. To continue taking risks as the people of God when later this year, the good people of the grind, some of the most vulnerable people here in the greater Pembroke area, they are going to become our next door neighbors here at the fire hall. And we are going to be challenged, my friends, challenged by Jesus to think about how we can be of best service to some of the most vulnerable and poor in our midst. And it's the wealth of the Spirit in this community that's going to enable us to stand up and take those risks and address those challenges with love and with compassion. It's the wealth of the Spirit, my friends, that enables us to welcome people through those beautiful big wooden doors at the back of this church and say to everyone, regardless of who they are, when they walk through, you are beautiful, you are beloved, you are a child of God, and you are welcome here at Holy Trinity Pembroke. You can't put a price tag next to that. You cannot put a number next to that. That is not a wealth that comes from this world. That is a wealth that flows from the very heart of our living and loving God. And so I want to end this sermon, this charge to vestry, by retelling you a story that you just heard. This is how I heard the story this week. And the devil took a church family very high up on a mountain. And there the devil showed them all the riches of this world in all their splendor. And the devil said to them, "Overflowing attendance, overflowing bank accounts, overflowing volunteers that you can have every church program that you could possibly dream of. All these riches I will give to you if you will only fall down and worship me." And the church family paused, and they looked at one another, and then they looked at Satan and said with one strong voice, "Away with you. Away with you, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And the devil left them. And Jesus smiled. And all your clergy smiled too. Amen.